Coming up on show 547, it's a Saturday special interview, learning to drive a car in an EV. Well, good morning, good afternoon, or good evening, wherever you are in the world. Welcome to EV News Daily. For Saturday, 3rd of August, my name is Marcin Lee. Welcome to a Saturday special interview. At the weekends, I try and bring you interviews with people in and around the EV community. And here's an interesting thought. In a few years' time, when all cars are EV, everyone has to learn to drive at some point. You'll be learning to drive. Your kids will be learning to drive in an electric car. So what about learning to drive in an EV? Well, there's someone in the UK who's ahead of us on that, and he already does. His name is Rob Cooling, and he teaches people to drive in an EV. On today's show, we'll find out what it means for future generations of learners taking the test, getting your independence, but doing it in an electric car. What EV does he pick to teach people in? How should regulations keep up with the pace of technology when EVs are getting over-the-air updates, new features arriving, new ways of interacting with a car? How do you teach someone that? And should you teach someone driver assist features? Let's find out. By the way, this is a throwback to a few weeks ago at Fully Charged Live when I caught up with loads of people. And I'm finally bringing you some of those interviews. We were walking around the outdoors area and it was blowing an absolute hoolie on that day. And yet, for some reason, my microphone hasn't picked it up. Now, I must admit, I did have the super fluffy big muff that you see on kind of movie sets. So all the gear, you know, I'm normally all the gear, no idea. But all the gear was there, and it turned out okay. But you do hear me say a few times, sorry if it's windy, because I thought the microphone was going to be picking up the wind, but it turned out okay. This is the chat I had with Rob. I hope you enjoy this. So we're outside now at Fully Charged Live, and it's a windy old day, so hopefully you can't hear too much of the wind on the microphone. Apologies if you do. This is an interview that I've really been looking forward to doing for a long time. Rob Cooling teaches people to drive in an electric car. Welcome to the podcast, Rob.
Thank you very much. Enjoy listening to it.
Someone's got to, I suppose. Not enjoy it, but someone's got to listen. I love the fact that EVs, the change to, I guess, if I was working in the industry and I use buzz phrases like the transition to e-mobility, yeah. It's not just the cars that are changing, it's everything around it. And of course, learning to drive, whether that's in the US where it's a rite of passage or wherever you are in the world, learning to drive is one of those things that in a couple of years' time, people coming through to learn to drive will never have to work out what a clutch pedal is and learn manual. So how long have you been teaching people to drive in electric cars?
In electric cars for 2 years. So I've been
instructor.
2006, so a fair bit longer than the EV time. But I spent a lot of time in manual cars, and I was always a bit unique in that I described myself as an instructor who loved to teach but never really enjoyed driving itself. But since switching to EVs, I found that enjoyment in driving myself as well, and discovered there's a lot of people out there wanting automatic now, which naturally leads them towards electric, towards EVs. And we have a niche market of individuals who want to learn just in an electric car. But we have a very big market of people who want to learn in an automatic car. And that's pushing us in that natural direction. Instructors teaching automatic, it makes sense financially and enjoyability-wise to go for an EV rather than a petrol automatic.
So in terms of the specific UK legal side of it, they get a driving license, it's an automatic driving license.
Yes. So if you pass in an automatic car, you are going to be restricted to an automatic only driving license. And once upon a time, this would have been a serious restriction, but it's no longer the problem it once was. And what we're finding is that with every year that goes by, it's becoming less and less of an issue. And at the moment, it's looking like manual cars are not going to be in mainstream production after about the year 2030. So the idea that you need a manual license in this new era is becoming an increasingly archaic idea. We are experiencing a generational shift as the new generation are moving away from the obsession with manual. I mean, the entire point of our technology evolving is to make our tools more user-friendly and more accessible. So, yeah, manual's on its way out. Still dominant, but it's going down every year.
Yeah.
If I... Apologies if I asked this already. What car do you teach people to drive in?
Oh, currently a Nissan Leaf 30 kilowatt hour, but rather excitingly, I have my E208 on pre-order, ready for January to take over when my contract on my my Nissan Leaf expires. So exciting times ahead.
We are outside at Fully Charged Live right now. So again, apologies if you can hear the wind noise on the microphone, and there's it's a breezy old day, but the sun's finally out, which is why we're outside. Funnily enough, we're standing next to a red Nissan Leaf. That's either going to be a 24 or 30, probably a 30 kilowatt hour. It's not the new shape. So when people come to you, well, I can say firstly, people come to say, I'm going to choose to learn to drive. What's the discovery process? Do people find you online, on social media? Like, where do 17-year-olds... Like, there's no Yellow Pages. I'm sorry, apology, Yellow Pages, if you do still exist.
Well, it exists, but I think it's in its last year. Yeah, it's all digital. So, I mean, the bulk of it with driving tuition is word of mouth. So we're still a very much word of mouth-based industry. But beyond that, it's social media, it's the website. I mean, I'm quite lucky because my last job many, many years ago was website design. So that played in very well to the digital age of finding business. I'm a little bit unusual because I'm a special needs driving instructor. So my market is quite niche. But just in Nottingham, we now have at least 8 EV driving instructors and many more to come. But that's because our council have invested in the infrastructure so people feel confident making that change in our local area.
So we're standing next to a red one, and we'll walk over to a black one by Octopus EV, part of Octopus Energy. And the new one, again, is a really lovely car. And there's even a newer Leaf coming soon with an even bigger battery. When you teach people to drive in an EV, is the battery size, is the amount of regen... It must be part of the conversation.
Yes, in terms of deciding which car the instructor will use for tuition. So, as an example, the regen in the i3 is quite strong. We do have instructors using the i3. Fantastic. I felt the regen is so harsh that it doesn't quite simulate a traditional petrol automatic that the pupil might then go on to buy. So I tried to get my EV to be as close to a traditional auto as I can. Yeah. So my Leaf is always in D Eco because I find that simulates quite close what they're going to transition to once they've passed their driving test. I mean, I've got two at the minute that have somehow already managed to buy Leafs ready for when they pass their driving test. You know, one had no intention of, but they learnt in the Leaf, became addicted very quickly, and invested in making sure they've got one ready to go. But the E208 I quite like because it's even got a mode where the regen is designed to actually simulate, it's called normal, I think, what someone would be used to if they were coming from a petrol auto. So the E208, the E-Corsa, seem the perfect tuition cars for the new generation of instructors moving towards this. I mean, we've got a lot of instructors pre-ordering the E208, the E-Corsa. I've been talking to them about trying to get dual controls sorted to avoid bottlenecks, because we run into this bottleneck all the time.
Was there even a group of driving instructors that got together to say, let's write the new rule book? How does that work?
It evolved. So 2 years ago, there was only a few of us who were using EVs. Since then, it's really expanded quite significantly, and there's a core group of us who are quite involved in spreading the word, letting other instructors try our cars out, talking about it, writing articles. Tomorrow, I'm doing a presentation at a driving instructor conference to EV curious driving instructors. It's a very big thing inside our industry. A lot of people are asking questions, and I think the main thing is, you know, get them in an EV, let them try one out, which we're going to be doing tomorrow, our thing that we're running, and then from there it just tends to happen naturally. It's the range, the infrastructure, but it's now reaching a point where it's a much more viable option for a large chunk of the driver training industry.
In many ways, technology leads and legislation follows. That is the case with Facebook and Twitter and governments and trying to work out how do we regulate, do we need to regulate, how do we control. With learning to drive, of course, something that's very serious, how do you keep track of the technical innovations in EVs?
In terms of teaching the technical aspects of an EV?
Yeah, because the Zoe, which I drive, is a very, what I call, analog experience. In order to get regen, the first sort of inch of brake pedal, you've got to push your foot on the brake pedal and then regen, and then if you really push the brake pedal hard, the friction brakes will engage. The i3, as you say, the regen is pretty strong, but every different manufacturer is coming up with different innovations. Tesla are pushing out new things all the time over the air. How much of that needs to be kind of in the rule book of learning to drive?
Oh, I like that, because this is where I would argue that the Renault Zoe is potentially the best EV for managing that transition, because it tries to be a traditional car. It uses a traditional handbrake. The regen is connected to the braking rather than a separate selector to control the regen. And it's the reason that I think the Zoe functions extremely well as a tuition car. I generally will avoid teaching the car as an EV. I will teach it as an automatic car, so the pupil transitions to their own car later on, absolutely fine. However, if the pupil expresses an interest in the technology, we will start to delve into the differences, the variations, the B mode, the regen, and we will explore that. And I had a pupil last week who asked to go and have a go at charging. So we had a 5-minute charge, plugged into a Polar charger, had a little go with it, because ultimately, in the future, it's what they're going to be doing. Because an EV might not be their first car, but it is going to be their second or third car, so they're going to be doing that. And actually, every single one of my learners does have a go at plugging the car in and charging it, because we all do 100 miles, all my learners do 100 miles on the motorway, and halfway into that we stop, we have an eco-tricity break, we grab a coffee, we plug the car in, and I'll get the learner to do that process ready for the day when they get to experience that in their own car.
But they don't have to, that's the thing. So you might do, but another instructor might say, I don't think they need to do that.
No, it's not critical. I don't think it's that important. It's a good thing to do if they want to. I wouldn't push the EV side of things towards the people too much, because they've come to me to learn in an automatic car, not necessarily to learn in an electric car. So that will be my primary focus.
But should it be, going forward, when all cars are going to be electric? That's not up for debate anymore. That debate has now been put to bed. All cars will be a form of electric, whether it's a hydrogen fuel cell charging a small battery or whatever, so don't get into this whole hydrogen versus electric, but in the future all cars will not be internal combustion, but therefore you need to plug it in. Is it the job of a driving instructor and a driving test? How do you test plugging in? It's so essential. But then again, the current driving test, you don't take them to a petrol station.
But it is a good thing to learn. And I have had that experience of seeing someone in the petrol station struggling to refuel their car because they've never done it before. And it's that fear of the unknown. You know, it's not that hard once you get used to it. Like the EV thing. It's terrifying when you see all the different chargers, all the different apps. But after a few months of doing it, you know, that fear of the unknown evaporates. You get used to the system. Maybe we should be teaching it. The good news is, the driving test has become very modern, very flexible, and it invites the pupil now to demonstrate the use of new technology. So they're not resistant to it. They enjoy the pupil showing what, you know, the car can do. As long as it's done safely or the rest of it, it is encouraged. So maybe you're right. Yeah. Maybe they should all be learning not just how to refuel the car with petrol, yeah. That first visit with their driving instructor to give that boost, that reassurance, and also to plug the car in as well.
Yeah, and to actually work out how to. Most people would charge at home. Everyone charges at home unless you have an apartment, but we won't go down that route. It might surprise people listening to this to hear you say that something like something administrative, legislation, bureaucracy is moving quickly. It has a bit of a reputation for not moving quickly.
Yeah, it has been different in the past, but the driving test has definitely modernised. It's come a long way in the time that I've been a driving instructor. I found our examiners are very open, very understanding. They seem to have been briefed on the new technology. In Nottingham, we have the UK's only EV lane, where you can drive your EV through the bus lane, and our examiners will now recognise an electric car, so they know which ones can go in and out of the bus lane. So no, I would say the driving test, that side of things has moved on, and we're aware that the DVSA who run the driving test are constantly very, very aware of how fast things are advancing, how fast this is all moving, and they're trying to work out right now what to do with the autonomous technology, how the pupils are going to demonstrate this in the driving test.
Yeah.
Is that going to come into it? It's all a little bit up in the air at the moment, but the main thing is these questions are being asked in the background. Those discussions are taking place. I would be inclined to deactivate as much of the supportive technology as possible, particularly in the early stages of a driving course, where you are really focused on that sort of like physical control of the car, that ability to drive. It doesn't mean that I wouldn't investigate bringing that technology in the later stages of a driving course, because the entire point of that technology existing is to be used. It's an aid, it's a support. It doesn't take away the driver's responsibility to be in control of the car, to be focused, but you have to understand the technology, what it can do, how you use it. We do that already, but there's so much new stuff coming in. But yeah, my instincts would be keep it off in the early stages, bring it in, teach it, because at what other opportunity are they going to be taught how to use the tech? Because they're not going to read the manual, which is normally rather long. So I think that does fall into the remit of a driving instructor, and maybe it should be more in the driving test as well. It already is, but it could be expanded.
So you instruct people, but you don't test them.
I do not test them. So I'm not a driving examiner. We do have, I use one test centre. We have wonderful examiners, very, very good bunch, very, very understanding. Because I'm special needs, I know them quite well. So they are very accommodating, all the rest of it. And they've got used to electric cars as well. So yeah, no, I'm the tuition side of things, not the examining side of things.
So last night I stayed in somewhere called Milton Keynes, and there were chargers everywhere. I stuck it on the side of the road. There was a big sign saying free charging for EVs, and got a free charge because it was a Polar post that I subscribed to. You've mentioned Nottingham where you are. Again, somewhere that has a reputation for doing really well with EV infrastructure and EVs, but it's somewhat of a postcode lottery in this country, depending on where you live.
It certainly is. I'm very pleased to live in Nottingham. And when I talk to other instructors about my experiences, I have to emphasise that I am lucky. Yeah. I have a council that is extremely proactive. I co-run the Nottingham EV group with Simon Telford, who introduced me to your podcast. First place. I'm glad he did. I believe, if I've got my numbers right, we have about 300 chargers in Nottingham at the moment, well over 250 definitely, and it's going to clear beyond 300 soon. I mean, within 5 minutes of my house, I'm surrounded with chargers. It's wonderful. It's very easy. The irony is that I've got all these chargers around me, and I just don't need them because I have a home charging unit. So I use them out of convenience, not need. And that's the thing I emphasise. I convenience charge rather than charge because I've got any issues with range.
Brilliant. By the way, I could just Google this, but I follow you on Twitter, and on your profile it says ADI. What does that mean?
Approved driving instructor.
I could have Googled that, couldn't I? I could have Googled it. If people want to find out more about your business and how to find you, what's the best way to find you?
Oh, you could Google or search on Facebook for Rob Cooling ADI. ADI.
Now we know what it means.
Finds me really easily. Yeah. The website is www.appledriving.co.uk, and I use that to promote the EV aspect of the business as well.
Oh, awesome. Really good to meet you. Thanks for your time.
You too. You too. Have a nice day.
Well, thank you once again for Rob's time, his insight, his learning. It's an interesting thing to think about. We all get very excited, don't we, about the cars that we drive. But then we think, well, hang on, we all learned to drive at some point. What car did you learn to initially drive in? Does it seem a while ago? Maybe it was, for some of my listeners, a very long time ago. But of course, the younger generations now will only ever learn to drive in an EV. So many questions, and Rob gave us
plenty of answers. If you want to get in with question of the week, by the way, for tomorrow's show, then let us know. Thanks to myev.com for setting this. As EVs become more popular, is there still a camaraderie amongst EV drivers? You can send me your thoughts. Email address is hello@evnewsdaily.com, or leave a comment on Facebook and YouTube. Well, thank you very much to 236 patrons of the show for keeping me going. You are very, very generous. Thousands of people are listening every single day all around the world, actually. And the show was just kind of built. There was no overnight success with this. Just every day, every week, every month, just a few more listeners. We're spreading the word, and more people are learning about EVs. Thank you very much, as always, to our premium partners of the show, Phil Roberts, Arv Electric Future, Brad Crosby, and Avid Technology. If you want to get the new shows, it's a free subscription. You can just hit subscribe in your podcast app. I use Overcast. Castbox seems to be getting plenty of attention at the moment. Let me know what app you use to download the podcast. Are you Apple, Google, Spotify maybe? Let me know. You can catch up on the socials by searching EV News Daily. Have a wonderful day. I'll catch you tomorrow. Remember, there's no such thing as a self-charging hybrid.